Hello, and welcome to I'm Sick Not Crazy, the podcast that helps you to take control of your own health and healing. My name is Jennifer James, and I'm a licensed and practicing psychotherapist here to talk about becoming your healthiest self, both physically and psychologically. As a licensed psychotherapist, I encourage you to seek professional mental health treatment for any issues that you may be struggling with. If you think that mental health care is something that doesn't fit into your lifestyle, there is an option available that works on your schedule. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, a mental health care company that offers four ways to get in touch with a licensed counselor: video sessions, phone calls, chat, and messaging. BetterHelp is available worldwide. You can access your BetterHelp therapist from every country, and there are counselors who speak a variety of languages. Best of all, BetterHelp offers you the ability to message your counselors day or night and get replies within 24 to 48 hours, and often within just hours or the same day. To get started, please go to my personal link at betterhelp.com/sicknotcrazy, and BetterHelp will get you started on your healthcare journey. Hello, and welcome back to I'm Sick Not Crazy with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Today, I want to talk about the healing power of yoga. It's my fervent belief that yoga saved me from a life of chronic illness. But when my neurologist at the time, Dr. Purcell, suggested it, I didn't have any idea of the healing powers that yoga offered. I was just so desperate to be well that I would have done anything that might actually help. It was only later that I came to understand why yoga healed me the way that it did. It shocked me at the time that my nausea went away almost instantly after starting yoga classes. I couldn't account for it, but I was grateful for it beyond words. The constant year-long nausea and vomiting had been the worst part of my illness by far. After that, I quickly regained the strength, stamina, and motivation that had abandoned me, and I began to live again. It took years to obtain the diagnosis that eventually led to a coherent treatment plan. It wasn't until well after I recovered that the label spasmodic torticollis came into my life. I had to Google it to understand exactly what it described, having never heard of it before. It's such an unusual and odd-sounding term that when people ask for my diagnosis and I give it to them, they usually give me a blank look and say, "What was that again?" In his book, Healing Yoga, Proven Postures to Treat 20 Common Ailments, from Backache to Bone Loss, Shoulder Pain to Bunions, and more, Lauren Fishman, MD, has a fortuitous little blurb about my condition. He writes, "A third condition that occurs in the neck isn't as common, but if you've had it, or even if you've seen it on someone else, you won't forget it. It's called spastic torticollis, literally spasmodic turning of the neck. It happens when one group of muscles gets really tight and turns the neck. Sometimes the head turns in jerking motions, and sometimes it turns and stays in an unnatural place. For some time after recovering from the worst of my illness, I had the jerking motions Dr. Fishman describes. My head would involuntarily turn to the right over and over. It was embarrassing. During the day when I was in public, I would fight the head turning with everything I had and completely exhaust myself. At home, when I was alone, I would relax and let my head do what it would, leading to half-watched TV shows and great difficulty in keeping my place when reading." Fishman writes, "This is a condition so painful and so intransigent that you may need a yoga therapist or a doctor who can give an injection that will alleviate it, at least temporarily." Dr. Fishman's assertion that spasmodic torticollis is extremely painful is, I think, the reason that my diagnosis and treatment took so incredibly long to obtain. I don't have much pain at all. I have the odd headache, and my neck and shoulders tend to be a little bit sore, but I really don't have significant pain. In the very beginning of my illness, my ears and my scalp on the left side of my head hurt, making it difficult to sleep or wear a headset. But that pain went away fairly quickly. Doctors kept asking me about pain, and when I said I didn't have much, they immediately dismissed me as a quote-unquote hysterical woman trying to get attention for something that wasn't really very bad. I would like to point out that pain is not the only thing that makes an illness terrible. In fact, I probably would have preferred pain to the ongoing nausea and vomiting that I endured for a year and a half. At least people that are in pain can eat, and they don't starve to death. However, Dr. Fishman is right about the injections. Every 3 months, I go in to see my current neurologist, Dr. Matich, who is wonderful and warm and helpful, and she uses a machine to measure my involuntary muscle contractions. She does this by inserting a probe into each affected muscle and listening to the sound they create through a special machine. Sometimes my muscles whoosh and growl like storms. Dr. Matich then injects Botox into the extra loud muscles to help them relax, and I can hear the muscle storms grow calm. Over time, this has been a helpful addition to my care, but I honestly don't think it's nearly as helpful as yoga. In Healing Yoga, Dr. Fishman describes how laboratory and clinical studies have confirmed that pain from upper cervical joints and muscles can be referred to the head. I think this was exactly the complicating factor in my own illness. I believe that what happened to me goes something like this. The whiplash injury that I endured caused the upper cervical muscles in my neck to go into spasm, which irritated muscles and nerves in my head, leading to migraine symptoms, but no pain. I had the visual disturbance, nausea, vomiting, and cognition problems that go with severe migraine, but the pain never showed up, which confused everyone, including me. If he had known about me and my illness, I believe that Dr. Fishman would have backed up my neurologist's suggestion that I treat my symptoms with yoga. Dr. Fishman writes, "Appropriate yoga is good for almost anything that ails the neck and for pain referred from the neck to the head. It improves suppleness of the neck muscles and increases the versatility of the joints so they can move more easily in different ways. It refines the coordination of the various muscle groups so muscles aren't pulling against each other with such ferocity." I believe that these benefits are part of the reason that I began to feel much better quickly after beginning my yoga practice. With my neck muscles in spasm, I needed something to interrupt the process of pulling muscles irritating the tissues in my head, and yoga miraculously did that for me. However, I think that there was another contributing factor. I think that the muscles, nerves, and other tissues in my neck and my head were terribly inflamed by the whiplash injury, at least partially causing the migraine symptoms. Multiple studies have shown that inflammation is a leading factor in many of the chronic illnesses that people suffer from, such as fibromyalgia and chronic back pain. Treatments for pain often focus on decreasing inflammation using NSAIDs, or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, such as over-the-counter ibuprofen or stronger prescription versions like naproxen. Many people, including myself, take a daily turmeric pill, which is a spice used in some forms of cooking, because it's been shown to have anti-inflammatory qualities. I didn't know it at the time that I started my yoga practice, but yoga decreases inflammation too. Dr. Fishman writes, "We physicians can't do much apart from medication for swelling of joints. Your body can do more by itself. Using a molecule called PGC1-alpha, this is a potent endogenous anti-inflammatory that reduces swelling anywhere it occurs in the human body. Gentle activities such as yoga and tai chi, and especially yoga done for long periods of time, encourage the body to release this miraculous substance from your muscles." The joints in my neck were certainly inflamed after the traumatic whiplash injury that I suffered, and I believe that getting involved in yoga significantly helped to reduce that swelling through the release of PGC1-alpha. How miraculous! Because of its anti-inflammatory effect, I believe that yoga should be a frontline treatment for any physical ailment that is caused by inflammation. Can you imagine the wellness that would result if doctors would prescribe yoga for arthritis, fibromyalgia, back pain, and any of the other ailments that they usually prescribe pain medication for? I truly believe that the world would be a much healthier and happier place. Speaking of happiness, I'd like to say a little about how chronic illness affects mood. Dr. Fishman writes, "Chronic pain does more than cause people to lose days of work. It's depressing. It produces anxiety. It makes life so hard that sometimes it doesn't feel worth living. I think it's extremely important to address pain that could be or is becoming chronic and end it as soon as possible." While Dr. Fishman talks about chronic pain being depressing, I'd like to add that chronic illness is depressing whether pain is involved or not. Before my injury and subsequent illness in 2011, I was the happiest I'd ever been. I'd found a group of people where I seemed to fit in completely for the first time in my life. I was active and social and enjoying every minute of it. Then, the whiplash injury happened, and my happy life became very small and extremely unpleasant. As I sought help, doctors kept telling me that my symptoms were the result of anxiety, and they kept pointing out how anxious I was in the appointments and how sad and alone I was. I argued that I was anxious because I kept seeking help from professionals who dismissed my symptoms, and I was depressed because I was terribly ill, unable to do the things that made my previous life so wonderful. But the doctors continued to insist that my symptoms were the result of anxiety and depression, not the other way around. I found this incredibly frustrating and demeaning, and it's refreshing to have Dr. Fishman acknowledge that chronic illness leads to a life that doesn't feel worth living, because it absolutely does. However, it appears that psychological effects of chronic pain and illness are even worse than I previously thought. Dr. Fishman writes, "There is a less recognized reason. Chronic pain that lasts more than a year seems to have negative effects that last much longer. A study done at Northwestern University shows that a year of chronic back pain actually shrinks the gray matter in the brain by as much as 11%, the equivalent of 10 to 20 years of normal aging, and that loss is directly related to the duration of the pain. 10 to 20 years of normal aging caused by 1 year of chronic illness. Honestly, that blows my mind, but I've seen it happen. In my own case, after my illness went into remission and I got treatment that made sense, it took a couple of years for me to be able to focus on reading a book or to be able to write the way that I had prior to getting sick. I'm sure that recovering from brain atrophy was one of the reasons that it took me almost 10 years to get my book project together. My grandmother became ill within the past few years. Within a year of getting sick, she went from a vibrant older woman who managed a home of her own and loved to sew quilts to a woman who needed 24-hour care and couldn't recognize her own grandchildren. Now she's living in a nursing home that specializes in dementia care, and I'm certain that her illness was a major contributing factor to her mental decline. Truly, we must take chronic illness and chronic pain seriously. It not only decreases life satisfaction, causes anxiety and depression, it actually causes brain damage. The good news is that in addition to other wonderful effects that we've already discussed, yoga can help with the terrible mood and brain problems brought on by illness. Fishman writes, "Clinical trials confirm that yoga helps reduce distress and depression and promotes a sense of calm well-being." He also explains that yoga is being used to treat PTSD. The Naval Medical Center in San Diego and other military VA hospitals are offering yoga to help Marines, soldiers, sailors, and others wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Preliminary military studies have found that the calming effect of yoga can assist PTSD patients in dealing with hypervigilance, flashbacks, depression, and anxiety. Honestly, I think yoga is the cure-all that people are looking for, but it's underprescribed and underutilized. Please spread the word about the healing effects of yoga. Even though it's more work than taking a pill, I think it's more than worth the effort. It saved my life. It could save yours too. Dr. Fishman lists multiple ailments that he has personally and effectively treated with yoga, including back pain, both neurological and musculoskeletal, rotator cuff syndrome, headache, weight control, bone health, osteoporosis, insomnia, scoliosis, premenstrual syndrome, depression, restless leg syndrome, bunion, and plantar fasciitis. While this is an extensive list, I'm willing to bet that there are many more conditions that would respond positively to treatment through yoga, and I encourage you to give it a try. Thanks so much for listening. It's been wonderful sharing this information with you, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Thank you for listening to this week's I'm Sick Not Crazy podcast with Jennifer James, marriage and family therapist. Please remember that this podcast is educational in nature and it's not meant to substitute for medical or psychological advice. To learn more about my work or to contact me, please visit my website at jenniferjames-author.com. And while you're there, please visit and follow my blog. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that you can take control of your own health.